You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
A mechanic tries to fix your car. No matter if you're near or far, he'll change your oil or fix your flat, and he'll do it just like that.
From Barrie to Port Perry, Toronto to Buffalo, take a joyride with Zoomer Radio AM 740 and the boys in Dave's Corner Garage. Coming to you from the main bay at Queen and River. Got a car question for Dave Redinger or Alan Gelman? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll-free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740.
Oh, it's not Al.
That was kind of a weak, what do you call it? Anyways, good morning, everybody. It's Dave Redinger, and welcome to Dave's Corner Garage. We're going to have a great morning this morning. I have some really great guests. Can't speak this morning. I know what it is. So much smiling going on before the show. Randy Moore is with us. He's from Mr. Transmission and, of course, our regular OPP officer, Dave Woodford, is joining us. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Dave. Morning.
Hey, we have a great lineup today. As you know, we're talking about the beer store next door. Every morning there's a lineup there, and every morning there's a little red Honda pulls up full of beer. So it must be a catering service. I'm sure that's what it is. So if you got a car question, we're taking calls this morning. We got a couple lines open. And we're joined today with Tom Tonks. Tom is the GM of the Toronto Auto Show, and you know what that means. We're giving car show tickets away, and we'll talk about what's going on down there. And Bob Cleveland, this is an interesting guy. Used to work for Red Snapper, was a technician for the lawnmower business. Yeah. Used to go out back and take the old lawnmowers and play with them. Took one of the lawnmowers to the salt flats and went 96 miles an hour on his...
Wow.
Well, I was going to say friggin' little lawnmower, but that's exactly what it is.
He kind of cut my grass.
Well, that's one of the rules. You got to take the blade off.
Oh. Yeah, you don't want to get hit.
So he goes to the salt flats. He does 96 miles an hour on the salt flats. Oh. I met him in Arizona, and I recorded a conversation with him, and he's going to join us live, providing we can get through to him. That ought to be an interesting conversation. Yeah. Amazing stuff. Interesting article this morning in the Toronto Star. People standing around after accidents. That's common?
Yeah, it is. It's I guess it's like a habit. That's the first thing you would do is get out of your car, check the damage, and then you want to exchange information.
Yeah.
And this is where we see a lot of people actually, and sometimes officers as well, and emergency personnel get hit because they're standing out there. And you have to look at people have a tendency to look at what's happening on the side of the road.
Yes.
And they start steering towards...
Okay, so they're watching and they... So what do you do? I mean, would you jump the fence or...
Yeah, well, not the fence, but they have those barriers, the steel guardrail barriers get in, or just wait for us. On what do we do? In fact, I was saying I was at a collision yesterday, head-on collision, and we get there. As soon as we get there, we want to get everything off the road to safety. And then we'll, you know, do the investigation in a private parking lot somewhere else off the roadway.
Okay.
So stay in your car, you know, make sure your seatbelt's on.
So you're safer in the car, right?
Yeah, until the emergency personnel get there. Call, you know, use your phone, call 911. We'll get there, whether it's a tow truck. A lot of times we'll direct the tow trucks to get them off of the roadway so that we can attend, like, the car parking lots.
Okay, so it's not an accident, but my car broke down. So
Same thing.
But I know these guys opened the hood on the car. And they're either sitting in the car or they're sitting in the guardrail, in the middle of the guardrail.
Yeah, I see that every morning traveling down the 400. You know, something happens, they run out of gas or the car breaks down. They're out of their car, they got the hood up, and, you know, cars just whizzing by at 120 kilometers an hour, and they're looking over, and it doesn't take much, and it's scary. I had one person say, it's scary out here. And it is, and that's what we're faced with every day. And actually, when we're approaching vehicles now, we're doing it on the passenger side, not on the driver's side.
I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah.
Where you're standing on the side. Because you look on YouTube, and you see the cop is talking to the guy in the window, and he's gone.
Yes, it happens all the time.
I wonder how much of that is actually on purpose. You know, you see the guy there, and boom!
Yeah. Right? Yeah, the best thing is, I think, just to stay in your vehicle, wait for us to get there, call, and then we'll get it off to a safe location, and then we'll deal with it.
There you go. You got it from the guy who was out there every day, And it's scary stuff. I wouldn't want your job, I'd be honest with you. I'd rather be under the car. When we come back, we're going to talk with Randy Moore about a winter that didn't happen. Tom Tonks from The Auto Show. And we're going to talk to Ann, Neville, Frank, and George on the telephone. So we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Is your thingamabob leaking something? Better call Dave's Corner Garage. They can tell you what it is and how to fix it.
Were it not for today's special guest and sponsor, there would be no Dave's Corner Garage, and thus a huge void in your Saturday morning.
That's a nice music.
Yeah.
What's that? Zed Top is playing.
Zizzy.
Welcome back. It's Dave's Corner Garage. And, of course, with us today is Randy Moore from Mr. Transmission and Dave Woodford. I always call him Woody.
Woodhead or something.
Whatever, doesn't matter.
Everything
by. As long as he's not standing in my window with his gun, I'm not worried about it. We're going to talk to James just quickly. He wants to talk about accidents, civilians, and all kinds of good stuff. James, good morning. How are you?
Yes, I want to find out if... Well, there's an accident. Say there's four people in the car. Nobody hurt, but the car has to be towed away.
Yeah.
Who's responsible to get the civilians off the road? Does the OPP have to take them to a safe place, or where did they take them to?
The tow truck. You'll get in the tow truck?
Yeah, but no, the tow truck only holds a couple of people.
No, most of those trucks now have
the... They hold four?
Yeah, they'll have the back seat. You know, the truck's the back and front seats, so...
But you don't have no response for that. You're not responsible for getting the civilians off the road.
Yeah, we will if the tow trucks couldn't. But a lot of times,
is that the policy?
Yeah, we want to make sure everybody's off the road safe.
That.
So someone will do it. We'll either make arrangements.
Well, I thought tow truck only took a couple of people.
No, they can usually hold four people.
So, David...
It'll be two tow trucks then. Yeah. Okay, thanks very much.
And we usually get a lot more tow trucks at the scene than we actually need.
Thanks, Jim. So the reality is the tow truck, if you can't get them on the truck, you'll take them back in the cruiser and...
Or we'll arrange somebody. We shouldn't be hauling people in the cruiser just in case we should get another call, but... You know,
you put the cuffs on.
We're not going to leave a person out in the highway. get them to a safe location.
Yeah, right, bend over the hood, put your cuffs on, and then you get in the car. Any sharps in there? I can hurt myself. All right. Now, this was the winter that we didn't have any snow.
No, I can't find snow anywhere.
You can't find it. You're in the transmission business.
I know. It's not good for business.
No. So the reality is the weather really does affect...
Winter driving always affects transmissions, but most importantly, we do a lot of work for people that have snow plows and snow plow equipment.
Commercial equipment.
They're just not out there this year. They're not using the equipment, I think maybe twice so far this year, and so it does affect the business. I mean, it's probably better for the customer. He doesn't have to buy any transmissions, but... And there's no salt on the road this year like there usually is. And, you know, salt leads to corrosion, and, you know, something customers should watch out for is transmission lines that are leaking because they've, you know, been corroded.
Yep.
And that's from the winter.
You know, it's funny because when I visited one of your shops in Woodbridge...
Yes.
And we went out on a road test, he said most of the transmission work doesn't involve even taking the transmission out. It's all electrical...
I have to tell you that 50% of the stuff we fix, we actually fix it without taking the transmission out, and that's great for customers.
But you know what, one thing, Randy, I noticed is a lot of motorists out there, they don't maintain their transmission. It's not something like getting a regular orange, an oil change or something like that, you know, and they sort of ignore the transmission problems.
It's absolutely true. I mean, I said this to Dave before, the most published unread book in the world is the owner's manual. I mean, they never stop to look at it. And the reality is they don't think about it until, you know,
something
there's no
happens.
Fluid in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have to look. Every time they have their car serviced, they should be looking for any kind of transmission leaks. And transmission fluid is red for a reason, so that you can see it.
Now, is there regular maintenance or changing of the transmission
fluid? Yeah, it's usually around 60,000 or 80,000 kilometers in your manual. You'll see in the owner's manual, it'll tell you clearly. And it should be serviced.
We have a saying around here, which is RTFM.
Yes.
Which is read the... manual. Okay, we're going to talk to Thomas is on the phone. Tom Tonks, a guy who I know for many, many years, more than I'd like to say. Tom, good morning. How are you?
Hey, David. How you doing?
Great. Tom is the GM. Is that the right way to say it? GM of the Toronto Auto Show?
Sure. It doesn't matter. It kind of means manufacturer. It doesn't matter.
Hi, Tom. It's Dave Woodford here.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
And Randy Moore is here to say hello.
Morning, Tom.
Hey. How you doing?
Excellent.
Great. Let's talk about the show. We got some really interesting stuff this year. Exotics?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know I say this every year, but guys, this year is the year. It is massive. There's just so much happening at the show. I just can't believe the manufacturers are coming in with so much new product. And it's kind of like, it looks like we're transitioning, too, into, you know, more hybrids, alternative fuel vehicles, all of that's real. That's on the board now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing, too, you know, this is a banner year for our exotic cars.
Yeah, you were saying, yep.
So it's just amazing. Where do you see this? I mean, there's just some great stuff down there.
The Aston Martin for $1.77 million, that's Pagoda.
Yes. Yes. Well, the Aston Martin has only been shown in one other place in North America. We saw it down in Los Angeles, and our president, Joel Cohen, this year, he moved heaven and earth to try to make contacts to make it happen, and he did discuss it with Aston Martin, and they, of course, had discussions with Grand Touring Auto here in Toronto, and the next thing you know, we got it, and
boom.
It is an amazing piece.
Now,
it's just beautiful.
It's this Friday the 17th, the show opens.
Yes.
It's Seniors Day. The station's got a deal going down there. I'm going to be down there from 2 o'clock till 6 o'clock.
Oh,
not
good.
Me.
Yeah.
Not me. I'm not a senior yet.
Yeah, I'm in for the free hot dogs. And you get it for $10 if you're a listener of AM 740.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Any person over 65, which, of course, all the listeners of 740.
Most of the listeners. We have 45.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing here.
So you got a car down there. You got a Triumph down there, right?
I do. In the classics this year, you know, we usually dedicate the classics to a mark.
Yep.
And so this year's dedicated mark in the classics area is Triumph. So I happen to be a Triumph owner. I have a TR8 that I restored about 4 years ago. And so it will be in the history room. As
interesting.
Well,
so we got Auto Exotica.
To showing my car down there too.
And you get money for that, Thomas?
I don't, but everybody else does.
Don't go there, right?
Yeah,
so
hey,
Auto Exotica.
Money? What the heck? I'm gonna ask for some money. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, it's a good deal. Just send me the bill. Okay, Canadian Cruisers. Cruise Canada.
Yeah,
that's every year, right? That's a contest that goes on throughout the year.
Yes, we're talking about the Cruise Nationals?
Yes.
Yeah, Cruise Nationals. Well, Cruise Nationals isn't a contest. It's you know, well, in a sense, maybe it is. But, you know, we run a special off-season program that supports the owners of, you know, classic cars and hot rods and, you know, all the guys who like to take their cars out on a, you know, on a nice warm Saturday night in summertime, or any night.
Exactly.
In the summertime to the local cruise. So we have 10 cruises across the greater GTA and that we work with. We have a car show midway through the summer, and then we pick out some cars. And then those cars all report to the big Auto Fest in Oshawa in at the end of the summer in August. And there, from all the cars that are entered, usually there's about 60 cars, we pick out the 10 that are going to come to the show.
Which are the best ones?
And then they're voted on by the public as to first, second, third, you know, gold, silver, and bronze medal winners. So, and it's a lot of fun. More than anything, it's just a lot of fun, and it gives us a chance to recognize people who really spend a lot of time and money and effort and enjoy classic cars.
Super.
So
now,
it gives us a chance to recognize them.
Thomas, does the fact that the Montreal show is ahead of the Toronto show, like a lot of manufacturers actually hold back and show the cars in Toronto rather than Montreal?
Well, yeah, they do. I mean, there's no question that, you know, Montreal gets some you know, press on their previews.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of cars are held back for Toronto, and the important cars are held back for Toronto because Toronto is where the media come. We have more media that attend the Toronto show than all the other Canadian shows combined.
Yeah.
So it's just a massive media effort that we put on here. And it really is a terrific day. Well, you've been there, Dave.
Yep.
So you
know. Been there for years. Thomas, thank you.
Thank you.
And remember, it's Seniors Day on Friday, and we're going to be there. Tom's going to be there, and
you'll
I'll
be there.
There. Yeah.
We're not seniors.
I'll be here wearing only a smile. You can be a junior senior.
Okay.
And next week, we're going to start giving away tickets, thanks to Tom and his group. Anybody calls in, we're going to give them a pair of tickets so you save a couple bucks there. And we'll be right back after these messages. Thank you again, Thomas.
Calling Wheels from Whitby and Roadster from Richmond Hill. Dave's Corner Garage is open for business on Zoomer Radio AM 740.
Wow! I feel good.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I like the one who says, got a new drug. I think that means more to us now than it did when I was in my 20s. Welcome back. It's Dave's Corner Garage here on AM 740. By the way, I wanted to tell you just quickly how I met Tom Tonks. Many years ago, like in 1981, it's like 9 o'clock at night, and I get this knock, a feeble knock on the door of the shop, and there's a guy with a snowplow, and he says, listen, I know you guys are closing, but can you do me a favor? I broke this thing on the plow. Could you weld it up for me? And I go, yeah, sure. And that was Tom. Tom was actually a teacher, and he was moonlighting as a snowplow operator. But seeing that he's no longer a teacher, and we don't have any snow in Toronto, but that's how I met him. And years later, it turns out he was part of the auto show. Yeah. Nice guy. Known him for so many years. Really great guy. You know, only nice guys. You know, surround yourself with nice people, you're going to have a great life.
Well, thank you.
Well, there you go, guys. I didn't realize it was a compliment. Let's go to the phones. We're going to talk to Anne this morning. Good morning, love. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine.
Good.
Thanks.
I apologize. We're sorry for keeping you hanging on.
Not
so
a
long.
Problem.
So do you want a used car recommendation? What are you buying? What are you looking at?
I'm buying it for my daughter. I can spend $10,000 or $11,000.
Yeah.
She needs a sedan, four doors. What do you think is a good car for her?
Interesting. Well, let's ask Randy, which has less problems?
Well, I have to tell you, I mean, today the quality of the product is awesome. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you buy, but if you were to ask me what's the car we fixed the least, I'd probably tell you Toyota Corolla.
Toyota Corolla,
yeah.
Right.
That's probably the vehicle, considering how many they've sold in the marketplace today. That's probably the one we see the least of.
You see a lot of the Honda Civics, so a lot of the younger kids with those.
Honda's a great product, just a great product. And you know what? The price point's good.
Yeah. So there's a recommendation. Go for midsize or small Japanese.
What year do you think we could get for that kind of money?
The trouble with Japanese cars is they hold their value too well. And so you're probably looking at about a seven-year-old Japanese product.
Seven-year-old?
Yeah.
What do you think of Hyundai?
Hyundai also great, really pulled up their socks. When they first came to this country, they brought the Pony, which was a big mistake.
Yeah.
that was a terrible car, and it took them almost 20 years to build their reputation back up. The product they do now is excellent. Their price point is less than the Japanese, and you'll get good service out of it. So that's one of it. The best recommendation I'm going to tell you is buy it from a used car dealer.
Can you recommend one?
No, the 401 Dixie Kia.
I just got
choice.
My car there.
Yeah. They're at the auto mall. All right. The reason
no,
I recommend
this. Bathurst and Steele.
I know
what she was saying.
But it's worth the ride. It's only 20 minutes.
I live up in Barrie, and I went there last Saturday, and I end up buying a car.
Auto mall?
Yeah. So I can give you their phone number. It is 905-602.
Sorry, 905?
Yeah, 602. 0884.
0884.
Now, the reason I recommend a dealer is because when you buy something privately, it's a private agreement between you and the seller.
Uh-huh.
So if something goes sideways, you're going to have to go to court to get it straightened out.
Right.
If you buy from a dealer, you've got warranties, you've got a complete organization by the government backing up the dealers, making sure things are right. And if the car is really unhappy, they'll trade you in for another one. You know, it's a better relationship.
Where are they located?
Dixie and the 401.
Just south of the 401.
Okay, one question. I know that, Dave, that you will give a free inspection of a used car. What about Alan?
Yeah, he'll do that for you, sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no problem at all.
If you can find him in the country, eh?
Have a good day.
He's on holidays. And actually, that's a good advice. You know, if you're actually buying a car privately and that's what you want to do, hire a mechanic. Right?
Have it inspected,
for
sure.
Absolutely.
Yes, dear.
Thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Take care,
bye. All righty. You know what? Let's go to Neville. He's been holding on for quite a while. Neville, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. I'm fine, thanks.
Oh, great. GM Savannah.
2005 GMC Savannah.
Right.
In the mornings, it scream. I took it in and have all the belts changed. But now it doesn't scream when I start it in the morning, but it does scream as soon as I'm going down the road.
Ooh.
I'm just wondering what that is, because I thought it was a belt.
Are you in the truck by yourself?
Pardon?
Are you in the truck by yourself?
Yeah, most of the time.
So that means the wife's not there, so you're okay. Even I got that.
I got his face, but she wouldn't do that.
So listen, does it move with the RPM? In other words, does the screaming noise increase when the RPM increases?
Yes, when I go up like to 60,
yeah,
it screams. But it doesn't stay all the time. It just screams for a while.
Okay. So it's a bearing. It's a dry bearing.
Sounds like a belt tensioner?
Yes, exactly right. Randy's got it right in the nose. There's a plastic pulley. Yep. is a plastic pulley that keeps the drive belt tight. Okay. And they're never serviced, and they're just, nobody ever changes them, but they're supposed to be. They're ignored.
And if you've had the belts all changed, they should have looked at that.
Yeah. So what you're looking for is a tensioner pulley, it's called.
Okay, sir.
All right. Not expensive. You can buy the pulley itself for like $20.
Yep.
Right? Okay. And a competent mechanic can put it in for you. But definitely, that's what it's either that or a water pump or an alternator. There's only three things that are on there.
Okay, he said he checked everything and he couldn't find out what the problem is.
Okay, you know what? I would invest the $20 to throw a pulley on it.
One pulley.
Yeah, tensioner pulley.
Huh?
It's called a tensioner pulley.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, you're very, very welcome.
And have a great day.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Yeah, I know. You know, when she's in the car screaming at me, it just, I don't know. Actually, it's not that bad. I have to be honest. I've been married for 40 years, and I've been wrong for 42. Let's go and talk to Mike. And Mike is on the phone, and he's calling in from, New York. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Hi, guys. How you doing today?
Great, great. How can we help you?
Well, 2002 Yukon, GMC Yukon, half ton.
Right.
5.3 motor. I do use the vehicle for towing, and I noticed I had the fluid changed twice in the tranny and the filter. Everything worked out fine. But the last time I had it done, all of a sudden, unexpectedly, now it'll shift into the tow mode. Now, I don't believe it's a transmission because I'll tell you why. It's like if I move the shifter when it's in drive, if I just fiddle with the shifter a little bit, you know, give it a nice touchy, soft feel, the light will go out and it'll take itself out of the tow mode.
Okay.
Yeah. We have the person here that might be able to help you.
Believe it or not, we might have the answer.
You're hoping. Yeah. What's kind of mileage on it? Excuse me, what kind of mileage is on the truck?
140.
140, that's not a lot for that truck.
No, I didn't think so either. It performs excellently, except to this.
And is the check engine light on at all?
No.
Hmm. It's an electrical, it sounds like an electrical problem.
Like a switch in the shifter or something?
There's a black box underneath the dash that controls the, it's four-wheel drive, I assume.
Okay.
And you'll have to get somebody to scan that and check it.
Okay.
So you'll need to get it taken in.
What is tow mode?
You mentioned the check engine light. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it had come on intermittently for about the last year. Every time I take it in for a code, the guy will tell me, well, it could be this sensor, that sensor. Mm. And then it just went out. And it went out, and it's been out ever since. And now all of a sudden I'm getting this transmission deal going on.
Okay, hang on one second. What is tow mode? I don't think anybody understands what tow mode is.
Well, some of these transmissions will prevent it from going into the final overdrive.
Okay.
Because it's better for the transmission because you're towing a load behind it. And in this particular case, that appears what it is. So
it's not going into fifth gear or whatever.
Yeah, fifth or sixth, and that's probably a six-speed in that particular unit.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Ford has the same light you'll see on the dash that has to do with the same issue. But it sounds to me very clear that it's electrical. It's probably the sensor under the dash, but you'll have to have somebody check it and scan it.
So what they will do is there's a little computer that they hook up to the truck, and you get them to go with you in the truck while you're driving along, and they put it in what's called snapshot mode.
Yeah.
And as soon as any code comes up or anything's in untoward, it takes a picture of all the parameters at that instant.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I should have asked. Also, you've checked the fluid. It is full, right?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, so that's usually what happens.
Okay, one last thing.
Sure.
Expense-wise, or is that tough to figure out without running the codes?
It's very hard to say because, you know, these things, it could be something inexpensive. Some of these connections are sensitive to corrosion.
Okay.
And then it could be the unit itself. So.
Okay, very good.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Thank you. You know, we had a weird one where the guy, when he hooked up his trailer lights, it wouldn't shift into overdrive.
Really?
Yeah, it turned out it was a bad ground somewhere because of the trailer lights.
Yeah. Very sensitive today. There's so many computers on a car today. They're very sensitive to ground, corrosion, pin connections. Yeah. You've got to check everything first.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Russ in Brampton, talking about a Chevy Caprice right after this.
Hard tops in Halton and pickups in Peterborough. Put it on the hoist in Dave's Corner Garage on Zoomer Radio AM 740.
Today's special guest on Dave's Corner Garage is a proud sponsor of the show. You figure it out.
You know, that's a one-hit wonder. You know, Lou Beglia was the guy's name. A little Monica on the side. Okay, we're back at Dave's Corner Garage. By the way, we got one line open, so if you want to call in. We can probably help you with your problems. We were just talking about during the break, junk cars we used to know. And Randy was talking about the Pony, which was a real
piece. Yeah, the Hyundai Pony, yeah. I'm so surprised at manufacturers that they bring an entry-level car into a country and it doesn't have the quality standards that you have around.
Yeah.
No. I'm surprised they made it.
And they're proud of it. You know, you notice the Chinese cars have not shown up. And when I was at the auto show in Detroit, there was no Chinese manufacturers there at all this year. Yeah. Like no BDY and no Brilliance and none of that stuff was there.
But the world standard of car building has really come up.
Yeah.
You know, once manufacturing went offshore, they brought with them the technology to build better cars. I mean, when I first met my wife in 77, she had a little Honda Civic Green.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought, what is this Honda? You know, it's such a small car, but the quality of the car today is world class.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, I just bought that Soul, that Kia Soul this weekend. Unbelievable.
Because they are world cars.
Yeah, they're world cars.
Yeah. The first time, Ford just here brought the Focus, which was in the Festiva or whatever.
Yeah.
Those are the cars they sell in Europe, and they're great cars there.
Yep.
And we were getting a lesser engineered car, let's say. Yeah. Right? And now all of a sudden we've got world cars. Junk cars, Fiats, used to be real crap because my dad was the Fiat dealer, right?
I can't believe they brought it back.
Well, yeah. But the new Fiat, I saw the Dart over at the auto show. Wow. I mean, it's an Alfa Romeo with a little Chrysler grille on it. Nice machine. That's going to be a winner for them.
Really? I'm looking forward to seeing that at the show.
That'll be a really nice winner. Other junk cars like Ford Console or Prefect or Austin 50.
What about those cars, you know, you could drive them in the water at one time?
Oh, Amphi cars.
Amphi cars.
Yeah. They sold one at Bear Jackson for $100,000 and every Amphi car in the world got restored, and now they're worth nothing.
They sold them to the guys that live on the Toronto Island.
Yeah. Real junk cars I used to know. I'll give you another junk car. Anything from the 50s or 60s was like...
A lot of the old cars that would rust like crazy, like the Ford Mavericks and the Pinto.
You don't see that anymore.
No, you don't see that.
Yeah. And it's Chevelle. Amazing.
What was the Chevelle?
Chevelle, yeah. Yeah. No, Chevette.
Chevette. Chevette. Yeah.
Which was the British Vauxhall.
Yeah.
Right? Amazing stuff.
The Gremlin? Okay. What about the Gremlin?
Well, it's a classic now. You know what's weird, too, is when you go to the auctions, people want to buy the cars that they couldn't afford when they were younger.
Yeah.
So you watch the trends, right? And then you watch.
You couldn't afford a Gremlin?
Well, that's just it. I saw one go, not a Gremlin, a Lash American, went for $54,000. I go, guy's nuts. You couldn't get, if it was running, you'd get $15 at the scrapyard.
Yeah.
If it had to be towed, you'd get $10. And that's if it had a battery in it.
Everybody loves their cars, though.
Well, that's true, you know. And nowadays, it's a twist and go. You know, the cars don't break down.
No.
And I'm sure you're in the repair business.
Yeah.
The cars don't break.
Today, you have a cold start. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the temperature's outside. You can start the car and drive away.
Right.
And, you know, in the 70s or 80s,
you
didn't
plug them
the
in usually.
Yeah, you wouldn't go anywhere.
I went through university with a bottle of ether. Used to
was
pour
that for the car?
Carburetor and fire the thing up.
Yeah.
I remember it was $1.29 at the drugstore. You pour it in the two SUV, SU carbs and a TR4.
Yeah.
Right? And you couldn't move the shifter out of the thing because it was so stiff.
Yeah.
That's an experience. I loved it, especially when it rained in. Let's talk about Chevy Caprice and a misfire with Russ. Good morning, Russell. How are you?
Good, good, good.
Go ahead. How can I help?
Yeah, I got this Caprice, and I just tuned it up. And,
yeah. That's got to be an old car. Hang on a second. How old is a Chevy Caprice?
1990.
Yeah. A 90 Chevy 90. Caprice.
Yeah.
That's like one take with a two. So
that's
okay.
That's a long time ago.
Go ahead. That is misfiring, yes?
Yeah, we start up in the morning, and it sort of backfires or misfires.
Oh, yeah.
And it clears itself within a half a second or whatever.
Now, the wiring is correct? You put all the plug wires back where they belong?
And she's running great.
Okay. Is there any smoke coming out of the back of the car when it's doing this?
No.
No smoke?
No smoke. Only in the initial start, you see a bit of smoke.
Right.
But after that, it's cleared. Everything is gone.
And then it runs nice.
Oh, beautiful for the day.
Right. So does the word valve seals mean anything to you?
Pardon?
Valve seals.
That I can't tell. Okay. But I would imagine it has to be done after.
Yeah. More than likely, what's happening is overnight, the oil is actually running down the valve.
Okay.
It's getting into the cylinder and fouling out the spark plug.
Okay.
And that's why you're getting your misfire, because the plug is actually wet.
Okay.
So it's firing on, say, 4, and then 5 kicks in, and then 6 kicks in, and then it runs.
Okay.
So the reality is there's not much you can do about that, except you can put in an oil which has a conditioner in it. Like, oil is called for high-mileage cars.
Okay.
And they have a kind of a conditioner that makes the seals softer.
Okay.
So when you do your oil change the viscosity of oil to a little thicker oil.
Okay.
And use the oil that is for high mileage vehicles.
Okay.
And see if that helps.
Okay, well, all my right? plan is to take down the heads and well, remove the seals and stuff.
That's a bigger job.
Yeah. That's a big job.
Yeah, that's a big job.
Oh, that's fine.
Now, what is this, an 8?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
it's
yeah.
carbureted?
No, it's fuel injected.
Throttle body.
1990?
Yeah, throttle body. He's right, throttle body, yeah. You know what? I wouldn't bother. I'd just live with it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've got to live with that one, so that's why I'm going to do the top.
Yeah. So okay, if you're going to, you know what, if I had that car, I'd get the SS model.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd trade it.
Right.
OPP has some of those.
Yeah, with the 454 in it, you know.
We don't keep them that long, though.
Well, I'm not really in for speed, in for comfort.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
I know a couple of girls like that. Alrighty, we'll be back. No, we're still here. So you do get rid of the cars pretty quickly.
Yeah.
What's the average about?
They go by kilometers. They usually about 130,000 kilometers.
That's it.
That's
in
not
2 years we go through that.
That's
crazy.
It's not much, no.
No, no. But I think the resale. You have to look at the resale value, and you look at the safety factor too.
Well, the average Canadian, according to some of the stats that are put up by DeRosier, I think the average Canadian is now driving about 20,000 kilometers a year
right.
in a passenger car.
Yeah. So we're putting 120 in 2 years.
So you're putting three times as much on.
Yeah.
As an
average
it's
going
person.
24 hours a day, those cars. Like, you know, they just don't sit there.
Mm-hmm.
So one shift finishes, someone else hops in that car. So they're running all the time.
Now, David, you got rid of them because why? They're not safe?
No, I didn't say that. Actually, you know, I wish they were still making the Crown Vic.
Yeah, because they end up being taxi cabs after you finish with
That's
them.
What I mean. It's the resale value on them, too. You want to still be able to
Yeah, you can't buy those cars now.
No.
I mean,
no.
The St. Thomas plant is closed. They don't make the Crown Vic anymore.
Yeah, they just stopped making them for the police.
I think at the car show, you're going to see some new version of the police car.
Yeah. It's called the Interceptor. Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to see something
my question.
At the car show.
So what's coming? It will be the Taurus SH
well,
or
we're
whatever?
Using the Caprice, like the Capri, and we're using the Tahoe. That's what I drive
I saw
now.
That in nice, the States, lots of those big Tahoes.
Yeah, they're going to those.
Especially
you'd have to look at the areas that we're doing in the north as well. So, you know, you get the four-wheel
You've
drives.
Got a Tahoe, right?
Yeah, I got a Tahoe. It's a very nice vehicle, yeah.
Yeah, but heavy on gas.
The trailer hitches for the gas tank.
I mean, they're not worried. They're more into what it can do rather than what it costs to run around.
Right. But you have to look at your resale because, like you say, the taxi cabs, a lot of the companies, they'll buy them afterwards. So you don't want them.
I got to drive in his truck once in the front seat.
Did you?
He had to clean it all out. There was all coffee cups everywhere.
Yeah, right.
It was terrible. But it was interesting that.
I was in the back seat, but we're not going to talk
about that. What I find interesting, everybody's really nice when you're in that black and white. They move over.
Wave at you as you're driving by.
It wasn't me, officer. Let's
you never see cell phones either.
People. No.
Get rid of them.
It's funny because in the States, there's no cell phone laws. And all the stupid things that they used to do here, they do there.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
And I'm going, no wonder we had these laws going.
No, somebody's going to get hurt.
They still do, right?
They do. It's another. We got a distracted driving campaign coming up this month. So
good.
You know, we're going to be able
good. You can always tell when you're following a car when a guy's on his phone.
Yeah.
Because you can see the car moving around.
And moving around, it's really slow.
Yep.
And the light changes and they're not moving.
Right.
Yeah.
So there you go.
See that all the time?
Yeah. Well,
that's dangerous. Just
taking pictures as they're driving by, you know, at the crash scenes.
Okay, we'll be right back. We have to take another break and we come back. I think we'll take one more call and then we'll call it a show. We'll be right back.
Aurora to Ancaster, Mississauga to Midland.
Yeah, I made a mistake. Yes, Booker T in the Memphis group. Alan corrected me. Okay, we're back at Dave's Corner Garage, and with us is Randy Moore from Mr. Transmission. Is there a Mrs. Transmission somewhere?
I think she's home listening to the radio.
Very good. Yeah. So you're right for about an hour.
There you go.
You get home. Everything is. And Dave Woodford is here from your local OPP. If you want to meet Dave, just go down the highway sideways and hit something really hard. We have an email from a young lady by the name of Lois, and she has a K car at Fifth Avenue model, 1986. She wants to know what's it worth.
You know, it really, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, it's a good way of saying that.
You know, I'm sure there's a young fellow out there that would love a car like that. Perhaps his grandfather had one. But there's not much market value for cars of that age.
Yeah. It's interesting that the cars that actually have value are the cars that we couldn't afford when we were younger.
Exactly.
Right? So this car may have value in like 20 years.
Yeah.
Because all the kids there now want the K car.
Yeah.
I don't know how many are, three of them.
The New Yorkers, it's a modified K car.
Yeah, they stretched it a bit.
Stretched it up, fancied it up a little bit. But
you probably wouldn't even get that much for a trade-in.
It doesn't have a lot of value.
They had tremendous problems with the motors. They had those Mitsubishi motors, which had the chains in them, and they used to go, and people never changed the oil on them, and they had tremendous problems.
Yeah.
So it's not a good model. So the reality is worth nothing.
Yes, you'd have to find a special buyer for it.
Yes, okay, so $2,500.
Thank you.
Actually, anything that's certified, emission-tested, on the road, it's got to be worth $2,500. I think that's the bottom line.
A lot of young people are looking for something that they can insure cheaply and drive it to university. Yeah.
Now, do you have that thing, like when you're repairing transmissions, some of them are $4,000 or $5,000?
Well, that'd be an expensive car. I mean,
like an Audi or...
Stuff that's 6, 7, 8-speed stuff that is a little more expensive. But today, most of the domestic cars today that you see on the road can be repaired, completely between $1,500 and $2,500. And that's less than the GST on a new car. So
that's what I'm saying. So you're not in competition with the new car business.
Oh, not at all. Not at all.
You know,
I mean, people think that the average car we fix is about 7 years old in our industry. And so it's an older vehicle, but it has a lot of residual value, and it's dependable. It's a family vehicle.
What about rebuilt transmissions?
We rebuild transmissions at every facility in Canada. So
it's amazing. I was there, and they just pull it down and boom, it's open.
Yeah. I mean, we do this every single day. So, to us, it's quite – somebody else comes in and looks at all these parts and says, how are you going to put that together?
It looks like a watch.
These guys are experts. I mean, they know what they're doing, and it makes perfect sense. I mean, and half these people that come in for transmission problems, I mean, we end up doing a repair for them without ever taking the transmission out. It's half these people spend less than $500 and they're back on the road.
Yeah, it used to be a day or two job, and they dropped the whole transmission down.
It's, we're an expert in the business that we're in, but I always tell people, get a specialist to look at it first before somebody tells you to stick a used one or something else.
Yeah.
Half the time, you actually don't need a used one. You need to get something else fixed on the car.
Well, and the other thing is, if you're walking in with a used one, I got a transmission in my backyard. You're responsible that transmission works.
Of course. I mean, people say the wrecking yard will guarantee it, but are you going to be happy when you're on the side of the road there with Mr. Whitford?
And and with the wrecking yard guarantees the transmission, but not the in and out of
that's
the transmission.
Right. You want to pay us twice, that's okay.
Yeah, that's I usually say that. So have we got time to go for another call?
Yeah.
Volvo Dash Thomas, good morning.
Morning.
Hey,
Volvo. Yes, I have a 1994 Volvo. It's the 960 model.
Yeah.
And right now I'm getting a flashing orange light in the dash, and it's the symbol of an arrow pointing upward, and it's flashing on me. Is that something serious?
Sounds to me like it needs an upshift. Is it standard or a transmission?
Okay, I cannot do any upshifting on that. It's all done automatically.
Yeah,
so I can't alter that at all.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that car, but it sounds to me like some of those cars from the 90s used to have a meter in there to save fuel.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's telling you when it's changed the gears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe that thing is out of adjustment, because if it's shifting up automatically, maybe there's a transmission problem, like it's revving too high before it throws a shift.
But I would, again, check all the electrical connections, too.
Yeah.
Because it gets to be that old. It could be one of the
What? I would suggest go to a local Volvo guy and let him have a drive in the car and see what he thinks about the way the thing reacts and works.
Okay, okay.
Okay? Because usually those lights are saying it's time to shift the gear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? So, that could be an issue. 94. Pretty
Thank
good.
You very that's, much, Tim.
You're very, very welcome. Well, that's a show. How's that a show? I don't know. It's a show.
Hey. That was great.
Anyways, Randy, thank you for joining
us. Thanks for having me, David.
How many locations?
80 stores across Canada. Go to our website, MrTransmission.com.
80 stores.
Do you have an app?
Actually, we do.
I noticed Tim Hortons have one that tells you where all the coffee shops are.
Is it really?
Yeah.
You go to your smartphone and go M Transmission or M Mister, and you'll find all our locations.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. 80 transmissions, that's 120 headaches. Dave Woodford, thank you.
Again?
Yeah. Dave's available to you at any highway for the 400 series. Just pull over, he'll come by and say hello. And next week, we're going to have the students here from Centennial College. We're going to have a couple of kids down here answering your questions, and we're going to give away car show tickets to anybody that gets through. You're going to get a pair of car show tickets presented to you by the Toronto Auto Show. And remember, it's Seniors Day, Friday, the 17th. You get half price, $10 for a ticket.
We can't go, Randy.
I'll see you there. Yeah. The junior seniors, official junior seniors. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye, everybody.
Who cares about the clouds and we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails. Till we meet again.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.